regular Muslims, Assalamu alaikum. Praise be to Allah, the one Lord and Creator of us all. Peace and blessings be upon Muhammad, whom the Quran was revealed, upon his descendants, followers, companions, and followers, all of them, upon us here and the righteous throughout the world. Amen. We're happy again to be here in New York, or Harlem, in Masjid Nasim Kabar. And we pray Allah that He bless us to please Him, to do His will, to please Him in our presentation, which is in the interest of Al-Islam, truth, enlightenment as it is revealed in the Quran, in the interest of establishing people so that their lives will be better and more productive or more fulfilling for them. It is indeed a blessing to be a Muslim if we understand. For a Muslim, there is not only today, but there is tomorrow and the future. Allah in the Quran, He calls our attention to the need to be orientated or directed toward the future. Many people, they live for the present. Many people can't even live for the present because they're fixed in the past. But few people live with an object on the future, or toward the future. And this is really the successful life, when you live with an object toward the future. When you live with an object toward the future, then you put more importance on the future end than you put on the present. And that's the key to success. All through the Quran, Allah tells us that the al-akhirah, is more important for us, is more fulfilling, is more lasting, more permanent. It is the life. So says Allah in the Quran. Al-akhirah. This word al-akhirah, this expression al-akhirah, is translated in many ways because it is used in different ways in the Quran. Al-akhirah means the future. Al-akhirah means the hereafter. Al-akhirah means the higher life. It means all of these things. Al-akhirah is contrasted with ula. Al-ula. Al-ula means the present, now. Al-ula. Or the first part. Al-akhirah, later. Or the latter part. Al-akhirah, al-ula, wal-akhirah. Al-ula, wal-akhirah. The present, or the former, and the latter. Or the present and the past, the future, or the former and the latter, which you have yet to see, or have yet to realize. Al-akhirah. Also, let's allow the noise to go by first. Also, al-akhirah is contrasted with ad-dunya. Ad-dunya wal-akhirah. Ad-dunya wal-akhirah. Ad-dunya means this world that we all can readily grasp, or readily see, and readily identify. When we're talking about things of faith, when we're talking about things of the hereafter, many of us have to strain our minds to understand. But when we're talking about the cow, the milk, breakfast, transportation, farming, industry, buildings, all of these things, we know what we're talking about, right? Well, that's called ad-dunya. Those are the things of ad-dunya. Also our sons, men, that help us do our work. They are, too, ad-dunya. The things that we possess in this world enable us to accomplish things in this particular sphere of reality. Those are things of the dunya. الدنيا. So God says, El awal wal akhirah. The first stage of the former wal akhirah and the latter. And he says, El dunya wal akhirah. This world that we're talking about, the physical things of the world, the physical reality that we see, wal akhirah, and the future. And he says to us, the future is more rewarding, more fulfilling, more lasting if we could only understand. Now, future for the Muslim is more than just paradise. For after all, what is paradise but a word that means or make us think of the best possible existence in the body, outside of the body? Oh no, Brother Imam, it can't happen inside the body. Go back and talk to your teacher again. And he'll tell you that in Islam, the paradise starts here and is also in the hereafter. God says that he will give us the measure here, but the full measure in the hereafter. So we begin coming into the life, the real life, the heaven. We begin coming into that here. That's why the scripture says, those who did not become awake, or who were not alive in this, will be dead in the hereafter. It begins here. The Muslim is to believe that for him, the heaven and the hell, both, are existence, are realities that begin in this life. Where we get the full measure in the hereafter. So don't think that when we say the hereafter, or al-akhirah, the future, paradise, etc., especially using the term hereafter, I'm talking particularly about the term al-akhirah, which means translated hereafter, or the latter stage. Don't think that we're talking about just a place where you're going to be free of everything, and just be on morphine, cocaine, or something like that, you know, where you're just feeling good, but you ain't going nowhere, you know what I mean. Don't think that the paradise is that. Al-akhirah is emphasizing the Quran so that we become people with a beam, with a sight on the future. If you find people weak in the society, it's because they are not keeping up in terms of the need to do something about the future. They're just taking care of the present. They're just trying to live for the present. Those people who live also with an eye on the future will get ahead of you if you are just living with an eye on the present. You get in an automobile, just to give an illustration. You get in an automobile and you get on the highway. Maybe you're a new driver. You get on the highway and you go 30 miles an hour. And you're looking into the road, right? You have to keep your eye on the road. You're looking into the road. You're looking into the road, in the way of the road. You're looking ahead of your place in space and time. Aren't you? You haven't got where you're looking. Now, if you don't drive that way, you won't be able to drive. See, that's life. And the faster you go, the more you're going to have to set your sight into the distance. If you're going twice 30, 60, you're going to have to really look ahead. Now, we want to move, don't we? We want to make progress. And we want to make pace. We want to make pace. We don't want to be snail, turtles, or a snail in the pace. We
want to make some change. We want to make some movement and make some progress and do it with some kind of regularity and some kind of speed. Right? We don't want to be forever getting caught at the corner. So that means we're going to have to train ourselves to look more into the future, more ahead of where we are, more ahead of the present place and the present time that we're in. Now, many of us, we say, oh, he's always bringing up something new. Well, man, that's driving. Yeah, that's driving. You want to sit down, you want to stand still, or you want to drive? Well, if we want to drive, we have to be moving. And when you're moving, you're seeing new things. New things. New scenery. Well, if I keep seeing the same old thing, that tells me I ain't going nowhere. This is the answer, not only me and you, this is the answer for any people in our circumstances. Any people in our circumstances, circumstances of the common poor, the typical poor people of these big cities in America, any people in our circumstances, this is the answer for them. Don't live with a beam or with an eye on the present. Live with an eye toward the future. Then you'll be successful. And that's given to us over and over again in the Quran. Over and over again in the Quran. All right. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. We have several things we'd like to bring to you on fast, many things. Before we leave here this afternoon, and I hope to catch that plane, but if I miss it, I might just live here. I said, look, I forget about the Cairo. I stay in here. Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. So me and Chicago don't get along good anyway. We don't get along good. I get along on the West Coast, and East Coast, and in the South, better than I get along in Chicago. Yeah. Well, you know, if we can keep in mind the essentials of the religion, those things that are most important for us in the religion. Now, I'm aware that we might have some non-Muslims here today, which we hope we do. Because we don't have no cult. This religion is not a cult. We ain't carrying on no secret stuff that you can't hear about. We invite people from the general public to our meetings. All right. So we hope you are here if you're here. But the address today is addressing Muslim and the Muslim life, Muslim religion. But I do know that non-Muslims will understand what we're talking about. And I hope they will appreciate what we're talking about. And we do not talk, when we talk to ourselves, we do not talk in a way that does not recognize or take into consideration the presence of non-Muslims. We know the needs also of the non-Muslims in the poor quarters of this country and the world. And what we be talking about, we know, is also good for the situation of a non-Muslim. Of a non-Muslim. Though you may not be ready or you may not be interested at all in taking on the Muslim religion, we hope that we are people in this country that don't only benefit Muslims, but benefit all people who are human beings and well-meaning, right-minded people who want to do something about improving the state of life for themselves and others. We hope that what we say is a contribution to all people. And inshallah, we as a people will become Muslims. I firmly believe with all my heart and soul, as though I got a revelation from God as clear as that bubble before my eyes, I firmly believe that Allah, your God and my God, the only one God, only one Lord, I believe that he intends as a blessing to the African-American people, descendants of the slaves, I believe he intends this religion to be their life. We can't force it on our people. All of them will never embrace it. But I do believe it will become the most popular religion among the African American people. That's my aspiration, and I do believe that God intends that. Oh, yes. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to believe that. You don't have to believe that. What is most important for us in this religion? The first and most important idea for us in this religion is oneness.
Oh,
oneness. Qul huwallahu ahad. Say, Allah is a one. Not two lords. Not three, not four. He's only one God. He's only one Lord. He is one. He is creator. He is life giver. And he is the giver of death. He is redeemer. He is savior. He is one. Allah only. One Allah only. This is the most important concept, most important idea in our religion. Now, what does that premise lead us to? Because after all, once we accept that as a truth, then that becomes a premise, right? Now, one premise carries us to another premise, right? One position of logic logically leads to another. All right. So, the one who designed, made this, did all this, is only one. And Allah says in the Quran, if there had been two or three in some kind of association, you would have seen similar problems in this work that you see in yours when you get two or three together to do something. You know, we don't always agree. So you would have seen some disagreement. Oh, yes. But he's only one. Now, we know that the Christians have an idea of one God, too. But they have a concept that is Trinitarian. It requires us to believe that there are three operating as one. They say one, but there are three principles, or three persons, or three somethings operating as one. What does Allah say about that? He says, you cannot count the forces operating in the plan of God. You can't count his blessings, and you can't count the forces that are operating in his universe. What does it mean? He doesn't just have a Holy Ghost and a Jesus Christ working with him. Whatever force you see is working with him. Even if it's working against him, it's working with him. Yeah, nothing can work against him without working with him. Because if it's working against him, it's going to manifest its wrongness. It's wrongdoing. It's going to manifest or prove itself wrong. It's going to prove itself inferior to God's will and plan. So in working against God, in the end, that thing testifies to the glory of God. As did Pharaoh, who worked against God. And he tried to belittle the message that God gave Moses. He said, hey, Haman, and the rest of my team, so hey, build me a ladder to reach up in the sky. I'd like to go up there and investigate this God Moses is talking about. So he belittled the idea of God that Moses brought. And he said, Moses, who is this God you're talking about? He said, I know no God but me, Pharaoh. The Pharaoh's law. But in the end of it, when everything went down and there was nothing else to go down, it was all finished. Pharaoh rose up while he was down, and he rose up his head, and he said, I, Pharaoh, bear witness that there is no Allah except one Allah.
He said, I bear witness that the God of Moses, la ilaha illallah, is God. That's what Pharaoh said in the end. So look, all of his opposition then, all of his opposition to God, when you look at it in Scripture, what it does? Does it hurt God? No. It testifies to the glory and the might of God. Is that not right? Yes. So see, everything serves God. And Allah says in the Quran, nothing comes to me, God says. Nothing comes to him that is God. In any statue except the statue of a servant. He doesn't allow no creature coming to him as a God. You can only come to him as a servant. That's what he says in our holy book. He says, what if Allah would decide to destroy all of this that he created? Since you want to say that there's a God with the creator, and you acknowledge that as religious people, we acknowledge that there's a creator. Now, what if the creator would decide to destroy all of this that he created? He says, which one of the lords that you imagine can do this again so that he will have a place for himself? All the lords that men have made, they have to have what the Creator did before they get settled. And Allah says again in the Quran, and this is not to belittle anybody's religion, this is eye-opener. This is to show you what the Pope sees and won't tell the masses. Allah says in the Quran in our holy book. He says, what if Allah would decide to kill, to destroy Jesus and his mother? And every creature on the back of the earth, who could bring them back? Now, I think Jesus loved this kind of talk. Why? Because I have read the gospel just like the Christians see people who read the gospel. And the gospel tells me that Jesus asked his followers to excuse him when he was expecting the men to come and arrest him. And the Bible says he stepped off away from them a distance. And there he prayed, putting his forehead to the ground. Now, I think Jesus would love to hear us tell people that he didn't think himself to be equal with God. He put his crown to the ground, praying to his Lord. That's the gospel. Now, you can tell me, yeah, that he did 3 in 1, and as Jesus, he was putting his head on the ground, but he was God too. So you can tell me that if you want to, but I just don't buy that kind of confusion. But I know a lot about psychology, and every time a human being does that, he has split personality. He is suffering what we call in psychology identity conflict. Now I'm either myself or I'm mixed up. I can't be myself and you, or myself and God at the same time. I'll be mixed up. But I'm your man. All right? I'm so-called Negro. Born of so-called Negro parents. Both of them. All right? All right. I'm not escaped from Egypt. I'm from Saudi Arabia. I'm from India. I'm born here. African American. So-called Negro parents. My father was from Georgia, Sandyville. He was given the name Elijah Poole after his slave master family name. And my mother was Clara Evans. Took her name out. And they married and she became Clara Poole. And they later met a mystic. She built a temple that I had to destroy in one day. And he taught them what he called Islam. All right? And really gave it to us. And I can't see all that.
Okay. All right. That's good. This is your man. All right? That's right. This is your man.
My wife.
Now, the most important concept for us is oneness. Oneness. From the belief or the principle that the one who did all of this is only one. And isn't that what the Old Testament said? Isn't that what the prophet first said from God? First prophet of King Crane, didn't he say, "Behold, your Lord is one. Your God is one." And that continued on until the Europeans got a hold to it. Then the God became more than one. Three in one. And we know who did that to the Europeans. Now, this oneness, if not to be conceived outside of the world only, we know Allah is independent of this creation. He was before it. He created it. Oh, I can't imagine that. That's too much for my imagination. You mean it's too much for your reasoning ability? It's not too much for your imagination, because I've seen some of the pictures of the things that you imagine. It's beyond your ability to master it with your intellect. I admit that. All right. Now, so God now, we have to understand in his oneness, in the concept of oneness, that this is not something or concept that we are to see outside of the creation. That is, in the being of God, if we can use that term being, which is corrupt. For Allah is corrupt. Being suggests material existence. Being suggests perishable existence. And Allah is not that kind of being. All right. So, it is also to be understood inside the creation. Inside the creation, within the creation too. Allah is the Zahir wal Batin. He is the manifest and also the hidden. He is outwardly, inwardly. Right? Yes. Okay. So how are we going to understand the presence or the proof of manifestation, if we can use the word manifestation, which is another word that is not new enough for the Islamic terminology. So we have to understand the presence of God now in the material realm or inside this realm. How are we to understand it? Again, in the oneness, the idea of oneness. What does the idea of oneness suggest? Where does the mind go as one? What comes into the mind right away when we say one? Wholeness, thank you. Wholeness. Because we have in mathematics what we call whole numbers and fractions, don't we? One is a whole number. A fraction is a part of the one. Any fraction we can think of is a part of one. So when we think of one, we think of wholeness. Wholeness also suggests what else? Completeness. Is this in accord with the gospel? Yes. To heal people, Jesus called on God and told them, "Your faith has saved you." He said, "Go on. You're whole. Whole. You're not a fraction anymore. You're now whole." Right? You are now whole. Do you know this is so important for us? Oneness, tawheed, oneness, purity of that oneness is so important for us. If we could only manage that concept in our life, we'd be successful. Because nobody would be able to sell us a form of life, our way of living, that appeals to our spiritual side but neglected our social side. If we only had appreciation, understanding, appreciation for that concept, I say we'd be successful. Because we wouldn't let anybody shortchange us. Well, hey, man. God gave me one, man. What is that? What's he giving me one third for? Or one fourth, or one half. God gave me. Some of you only get one ninth. Hey, man, what is this?
God gave me more than this.
Oneness, oneness. What else will oneness suggest? Anyone who can follow oneness, oneness in his life, he must be a disciplined person. He must be an intelligent person. If you're not intelligent or not disciplined by faith or by intelligence, or you're not capable of intelligent thinking on your own part, you can't follow the principle of oneness. It requires discipline.
Faith. Intelligence.
What else does it imply? Integrity. When we allow our principle to be fragmented, when we allow our principle to be compromised, that means we are sacrificing a part of our principle for an end or something we want to gain. When we allow that, then the oneness of that principle is broken. And people who allow the oneness of that principle to be broken are called men or women that are not men and women of integrity. See what this oneness suggests? Oneness, unity, discipline, wholeness, integrity. And Abraham, who's called father. Only two men called father. Adam and Abraham. Abraham, who's also called father. Abraham's pictures are recognized for what? For his integrity. Upright man in all of his doing. And he says in the Quran, he says, Now I turn my whole self. He didn't say part of himself. That wouldn't have been integrity. That wouldn't have been oneness. That wouldn't have been complete. That wouldn't have been whole. He said, I turn my whole self now to he who originated the heavens and the earth. Isn't that wonderful? And we are told in Allah in the Quran, and Prophet Muhammad has told us, peace be upon the Prophet, he told us what? He says, this is the order of your father Abraham. The order of the Muslim is the order of Abraham, the upright in faith. That's the most important principle for us. Prophet Muhammad says, one of the worst people, he says, of the worst people on earth, the worst creatures that Allah made, peace and blessings be on the Prophet. He said, of the worst creatures that Allah made is the creature that carries two faces. That creature is not one. That creature has two identities that he's presenting. Now, Muhammad says that when he's with one people, he presents the face that they like. And when he's with the other people, he presents the face that they like. And our prophet says that Allah's prophet, the last and universal prophet, the seal of the prophet, completion of that line of prophets, our daily life, in our makeup, in our mental makeup, in our emotional makeup, in our execution of our rational powers, in our going about to achieve our purposes. How many of us are aware of how that applies to us in our daily life? That we recognize that when we're thinking,
The worst of the creatures that Allah has made.
How many of us realize when we're putting on, when we're presenting something that's not real, that we are guilty of breaking that oneness. For after all, why does God, Allah that is, why does he communicate his oneness to us? He's one without us knowing it. He's one without us believing it. Now, why has he communicated his oneness to us? That's because nothing existed without his being. Nothing existed without him. And nothing can exist without him. And all that exists bears his impression. He has made an impression on everything he created. And your life requires a response in it to his oneness. And when your life responds to his oneness, then your life becomes unified, one, whole, as Jesus said. And therefore, correct and real for you. And when it's not that way, it's incorrect. When it's not that way, it's unreal. When it's not that way, it's hypocritical. A Muslim, if he understands his religion, a Muslim can't put on. If a Muslim puts on, he must be put on to make a point, to make a rational point. Then he must explain his putting on. And his explanation should condemn his act. Because putting on just ain't fit for a Muslim. I'm for real. And I pray Allah always be for real. Because that's what has made me happy. Yeah. Living a life that's for real has given me my happiness. Oh, yes. Praise be to Allah. One of these days, we're going to grab the two faces. And we're going to cut that face off and tell him, say, now let's see, can you put the other one on? In fact, I got my knife with me today. From Muhammad, peace and blessings be on him, he said, Buni al-Islam al-Khamsin, that this religion is structured upon five essentials. The first of them is the one we've been talking of. La ilaha illallah, wahdahu, la sharika lahu. No deity except Allah, one, alone, nothing like unto him. And we recite the surah Al-Ikhlas, the surah of the pureness, the purity of this concept, Al-Ikhlas. It means what it means. It means nothing, this is the perfect concept. It means no addition. It means no subtraction. It means no alteration. It is finished, perfect as it is. Do not touch it. That's what it means. Al-Ikhlas. And how does it read? Qul hu Allahu ahad. Say, he, Allah, is only one. Allah is samad. Allah is eternal. Lam yalid. Never fathered anything. Wa lam yulad. Never was born. Wa lam yakun lahu. And there exists nothing. Kufuwan ahad. That can compare to him. They won't say such and such is like God. No, that's forbidden in Al-Islam. Ain't nothing like Allah. Some of you may think a clear blue sky is like Allah. Nothing up there but the blue. Although it's clear, it's still way better than the blue. And at night it gets deeper blue there. It gets darker blue at night. They call it deep blue. Shallow blue in the day, deep blue at night. Let's see now. Tell us from the concept of oneness now. First, we want to establish the concept of oneness. We know we got four other essentials that make up the structure, the main structure of the religion, that holds up this religion, or makes up the basis of this religion. But don't forget the principle of Iman. Iman. Some of us underestimate the principle of Iman. The learned men in this religion, they have established, on the basis of Quran and Hadith, the Sunnah of the Prophet, they have established that Iman, technically speaking, is not just faith, and that's it. It is also practice. One must have faith and also practice faith. So though we speak of the five basic essentials as being practices, Iman must also be practiced. Muslims cannot just have Iman without practice. How do we practice Iman? Or faith. Faith, Iman, faith. How do we practice Iman? Allah, Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have told us. He says that when you speak the truth, when you act sincerely, you're practicing Iman. When you uphold the right against the wrong, you're practicing Iman. When you do good, you're practicing Iman. This is the teaching of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, teaching of blessings, be a gunner. So you see, faith is to be practiced. Now, many faithful people will drink liquor. Many faithful people will smoke reefer. Many faithful people will smoke reefer. Many faithful people may eat a forbidden thing. Right? Many faithful people will sit quiet and see an innocent person being done in. And they say, hey, but their faith, they believe in God. That's weak faith, isn't it? That's why the prophet says, faith on three levels. It's on the level of the hand, it's on the level of the speech, tongue, and on the level of the heart. Silent action. And he says, and the heart is the weakest expression of the faith. Now, we know the heart is fundamental, isn't it? Before I can carry it out with the tongue, it has to be in the heart. If it's not, it's not going to come out pure. I'm going to have a hell of a job trying to make it sound right. I have to fight what the heart is saying, right? Okay, so we know that the heart is fundamental, but it's just like a baby. Isn't the heart a baby?
Yeah, heart is a baby. Heart is the baby of our life.